All right. So now I do have some questions that were sent to me. So I want to do those first for our question and answer time. The one question they were asking, they said that I said favor and grace was the same thing, which the words are the same thing in the Bible. And to understand what favor is, let's first understand what favor is. Favor is when God uses you for a specific purpose. That's favor. What we turned it into is when things go your way. In other words, a whole abundance of good luck. That's why if somebody said, if I found $100, God's favor. No, that's not what that means. And I think we've distorted that. Okay. So favor is that. And it also said, I know we hear a lot of folks say that they are highly favored. There's one time in the Bible that said, and it said about Mary. Okay. But we are. And today, the difference from the Old Testament is they all had the commands to follow what God said, but only a select few were used by God, if that makes sense. Here's the thing: to be used by God, some of them were in what we call desirable ways to be used by God, others were not. We always hear me bring up Job and Joseph. They went through some undesirable things, they were favored. You understand that? And the New Testament, grace is all of us, because now we are all part of a body to be used by God. So we are favored. And we have to live in God's favor. Today is the time for salvation. So the other part of the question, this is, I think some time ago when the song was about God favors me, Hezekiah Walker did that, that I mentioned that something about the lyrics not being in line with the word or something to that effect. And what I was saying about the song is it could be deceptive. If you really listen to a song, really deep in digging deep, it can kind of stay on what favor is, because especially when I can't remember the other gentleman, when he sings his part, he does talk about some of the harder times and stuff like that. But a lot of it, if you hear it, and what we think of favor sometimes still leans towards things are going to work out to my liking, not to my benefit in God. But it's not about what it worked out. It's God using me, if you understand that. It's it, and then it went on and says, do you remember what you said in Proverbs 31? It mentioned that favor is deceitful and beauty is in vain. So in this verse, are we talking the same favor, or is this pertaining to a woman? And that one is not talking about the favor that we're talking about. It's talking about beauty. That one says in Proverbs 31, it mentions that beauty is deceitful or fleeting, and it says, but I'm sorry, charm is fleeting and beauty is in vain. Okay. And what it's talking about, that charm, is there's certain things in our youth that we have that we can do. And it was talking about a woman in particular here. Part of the way she can react and how she can do things can be very deceptive if you're not careful. And that, but at some translations do use favor, but it doesn't mean favor in his way of favor of God using you in that sense. And the beauty part of it, of course, we know what that means. Let's talk about how a person may look. And it's not just that looks may change as we get older. As we're with somebody, we get used to the look. Okay. When we understand, that's why even in that same Proverbs 31, it talks about you'll recognize that internal beauty, or we've seen it later on in First Peter, where it says, when they see the reverence and purity in your heart, that beauty is everlasting. It stays beautiful. The physical beauty you get used to, humans get used to the human beauty. A human handsome or whatever, and that, you know, because we are, because a human, it's fleeting, and all that stuff is in vain. So that's a different, when it used favor in that, it's not talking about favor in God, it's talking about looks, and it's talking about the physical reactions. That was the first question I got. The other question I got was, how do you handle a non-Christian who is a habitual liar, just makes up stories and events for no reason? You think there's a need to it for acceptance or something? See, there could be many reasons why flesh does what it does. And this is why we as Christians have to walk by faith, because we can get caught in this trap. People do things. Some people want more attention. Some people want to look better in people's eyes. Some people, they're just liars. Now, all of us are evil if we live in ourselves. And that's why I'm glad the person specified, how do you handle a non-Christian? How we handle all non-Christians is the same. We minister by how we live around them. That's going to be the biggest part about them. And we see opportunities. This is why ministry is not me ever preaching preaching at them. It's me ministering to them. That's a big difference. Because what tends to happen is when I preach at them, as the word says, it's foolishness to them. They can't understand it because it's spiritually discerned. However, how I live, God made it so that ministers to them. So they're going to be watching my attitude. They're going to be watching how I act in certain situations. They're going to watch how I show mercy and how I show love. And this is why all that stuff's so important. So when I just play Christian on convenient times, but I walk around with an attitude, or I walk around cursing, or I walk around getting drunk, or I walk around doing stuff that I have no business doing, I'm not doing this non-Christian I'm not helping this non-Christian at all. And if you notice, it has nothing to do with what they are. Habitual liar, if they're a sex fiend, if they're a thief, doesn't matter. They're a non-Christian. You minister to them all. They could be a serial killer. And if I can minister to them, I want to minister to them out of that. That's our whole goal. So we don't want to just, because what we tend to do is there's certain non-Christians that we look at as evil, which will make us look at some non-Christians as good. And then we won't minister the way we're supposed to, or we'll put our guard down and we'll pick up bad habits from them. So there could be any reason. I wouldn't spend time on finding out why they're that way. I would do what I can, once again, with me. And this is why God works on us so much, because how I am ministers to others, or it's a stumbling block. Third question I got was, we say and hear others say, use me as God sees fit. Does that mean we submit to his will for us? Absolutely. And if we all see it with that concept, and that comes from a verse where God gave each of us a portion of faith as he sees fit. You understand that? In other words, we all play a part. So there's certain things I just was not meant to do, certain things you were not meant to do. So what I want to do is live within his will. So when I ask, hey, God, can I do this? I expect that sometimes him going, no, that's not what I had meant for you to do. And that's where a person who's living in his will saying, I want him to use me as he sees fit. And hopefully it takes us out of our desired look. Because you got a lot of people that, I'm going to be, and they're so focused on their dreams and their hopes and their outcomes, they miss out on what God's will is for them. And that's why some people die without being used as what they were born to be, because they didn't live in what God wanted them to be. They kept trying to make God make them what they desire to be. So that's what I had. All right. Any other questions? Now it's your turn.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing, sis?
Oh, okay. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm not trying to think how to ask the question. If you say you applied for a license or something, uh-huh. and you didn't get it, and you emailed people, you did everything you could for yourself to get an answer why you didn't get it, and then you pray about it, and because you've done what you think is all you can do, you pray about it, and you still don't get the license. What do you do next?
Is it, you mean like for driving or for anything?
Anything.
If you don't get it, and you prayed about it, and it didn't fall into place, you just didn't get it, and you live with what you have. If that makes sense. Like if you did everything that you were supposed to get something, God will allow certain things not to work out. It's like when Joseph was in jail. And after he did what God used him to do, to give, you know, to interpret the dreams for the two men in prison, he was still kept there long. And he even said to them, hey, remember me. So I, basically let them know about me so I can get out of here. But it went longer. In the same way, there are certain things that are going to happen down here. And once again, it's not going to make sense, in which I may be a sure shot for, and it may not happen. I may really pray about it, and it may not happen. And it may, because it's not about that, once again, outcome. It's about where God has it. So there's a reason why that didn't come into play. It could even be man, but I'm still going to react in the moment based on faith. So I there's nothing I could do if I didn't get it. I can't react with a license because I don't have a license, if that makes sense.
So what about if you pay for it and didn't get it?
Then you try to get your money back if you didn't get it. You know what I mean? You get your money back, and if there's other avenues of getting it, or you can even still pursue to get it. It doesn't hurt to pursue it. It's just, you still got to live in the moment of when you don't. Some things are delayed, some things are very fast, and it's not always fair. That's the hard part, because sometimes God may work with us, just like, once again, using Joseph again. It wasn't a fair situation, but it was a situation that God allowed. So why then would he allow this to happen? Sometimes we get caught up in the why instead of, okay, I'm in this element, and God could be doing it to go, okay, let me see you minister or see you glorify me in this situation. You're going to go through a frustrating situation. I went through, there's three things that I purchased throughout the years, and I remember all three of them had problems, and I was breaking it down on what I need to do. One of them I ended up sending back like 8 times to get it repaired, and I was trying to get it repaired before the warranty run out. And my whole thing is, I got to work with what I got. And as long as I stay within those boundaries, I got to go. And each time I'm going to be as kind as I can, but I'm still going to let them know what's going on, so on and so forth. All this, I keep looking back at God. It's easy for us to go, well, you know what? I'm done, because I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. And when we allow that element to come in, God could be allowing it to make sure emotions don't get caught up in it, to make sure you're doing it all by faith. And, you know, so we don't have any of the answers. We just know this is what I got. I applied. I didn't get it. Prayed about it, still didn't get it. They got my money, so I got to reach out to them and either keep trying to get it until I get it or get my money back. And those are the only options you basically have.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that question, because I think that's one of those complex questions. It's not a cut and dry, and it's not a desirable answer. It's not, we'd rather say, you know, that's why we like to say I'm highly favored and I'm a child of God. You know what I mean? And we put that out there where God is saying, yep, sometimes I'm going to put you some things that are not going to make sense. I want to see how faith works in this. And we see that throughout the Bible. So we have to make sure we're very focused on that and faith focused. If not, we'll start doing some worldly things and we still got to answer to God for it. Other question.
So Pastor, yeah. What if that license was dependent on, say, like a driver's license where you need that to drive? So how would that fit in?
And that's what I was thinking too, something that's essential that you have to have, but you still didn't get it, you can't drive. So what do you do? And some, you know, somebody say, well, I'll just take an Uber until I get my license. I'm going to have to drive down there, but I can't drive down there because I don't have a license. I'm going to have to get somebody to get me down there. I may have to go through whatever I need to in order to get it, but I already know I can't drive without a license. So it just makes things that much more complicated, and especially if I don't have the money to. So it's a good question, but we still maneuver in it. You know what I mean? And that's, once again, another hard one. Why would God do that? To mold us. God does stuff in order for us to learn. Like he says, if you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 1, and you know, God has his ways of doing stuff, which is always the right way. So in 2 Corinthians 1, we're going to start in verse 8. Where he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Now, did they have to suffer them? No, they didn't. But God is allowing it. And it goes on to saying, in Asia, we were under great pressure. So whatever they went through in Asia, it was extreme. And it watches far beyond our ability to endure. So when people use that, well, God will never put more on us than we can deal with, he shows right here, oh, yes, he does. Because that's not a statement in the Bible. He will not let us be tempted beyond. But this is far beyond what I can endure. It's far beyond what I can do. Okay. It says, so that we despaired even life, indeed, our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He says, this happened so we can rely on God. As we were just talking about something as basic as a license, I don't know what license Sister Carolyn was talking about, but let's say if we're talking about a car license and it was the way to get you to work to provide for your family, so on and so forth. Sometimes we go through routines. That's what I do. I get up, drive to work, do my job, blah, blah, blah. What if some element was taken away? Were you relying on that car? Were you relying on that job? Were you relying on your talent? Or were you relying on your provider? You see the difference here. You know, I mean, you have a lot of people that will walk around talking faith until a catastrophe happens. And you'll see if they truly have faith. You know what I mean? I've seen when crashes happen, and I'm not saying, I think everybody by flesh is going to feel a certain way when you're going to lose your job, or, you know, when they're going to lay people off, when things like that. If you lost your license and that's the only way to get to work, you're going to feel a panic. You understand that? But how you react If you're depending on God, it's going to be, okay, well, I guess there's something else I got to do. And you're going to stay focused on him. And the prayer part is, okay, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? And you're going to, but what he's trying to show us is that focus is what I should have all the time. But we get so routine and so used to how things go, some of these basic things we take for granted. You know, it's funny you say that. I was driving one time, my car made a noise. And at the time I worked in York, which is half hour away. And I said to myself, I said, so what if my car didn't work? Now, I may be blessed that I have other ways of getting there, but it just hit me on, am I taking this for granted? I need to pray before I go to work. I need to pray as I'm driving. I need to pray, you know what I mean? And let it be known, God, the only reason why this car is working, the only reason why that bridge stays up when I go across, the only reason why I get to work, the only reason why I'm able to do the job is because of you. And always show that I rely on him. So it's a complex question, but it still comes down to, am I being godly in that situation? And who am I depending on? I didn't mean to give a whole sermon on that, but hopefully it'll help. Other questions? That's it. All right. I do want your input if anybody's concerned on the new format. I think it went well. But and anytime you guys, this came from people making requests. And if it fits into how the word and all that goes, then I will try them. But I always wanted to hear your input on it. And I take everything you guys say seriously, but I always apply it to what God is saying to make sure it's doing the best to give the word. So hopefully this helps out and it gives you, it puts the first one in a place where you can really now focus on the word and then leave the question and answer later. So we'll see how this works out. So if there are no other questions, we can pray. Let's pray. Dear most holy, most gracious Father, thank you once again, dear God, for allowing us to come together, dear God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit to give us the understanding to your word, dear Lord. And we just thank you for the chance, the times that we get to grow, the times you give us to, even though we're slow to learn at times, dear Lord, but you're just patient with us and your mercy and your compassion towards us, dear God. But help us, dear God, not to take that for granted. Help us to live diligently and focused on you, really walking and being led by faith. Help us to look to you in all that we do, dear Lord, encouraging and strengthening one another in all that we do. And as we go out through the world, help our lives in everything that we do to be a ministry, to realize the situations that happen to us is order for us to glorify you, as your word says, in all that we do, do it to the glory of you. So we want to walk in that way at all times. Continue to bless everybody who's going through struggles. And even in the storms, as Job, we want to make sure that we're ministering in the storms that you allow us to be in. We make sure that you are our purpose in our lives, and we want to make sure that everything that we are doing is going to display you to others in this short time to minister to them so they come to you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen.
Amen.
Love you all.
Amen. You too.
I like you all.